We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Tuesday here in Brevard County, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM or 102.3 in other parts of the county. And so thank you for tuning in today. I want to take just a moment and invite you to our vintage service tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. And also tomorrow night is our kids ministry. And God has been doing really wonderful things there. And so if you have kids, do you realize it is getting really, really close to school being out? It just, time is flying by. I'm not sure there's an emergency brake I can pull to get that to slow down. But if you would like your kids to be trained in the things of God, we have several girls' classes. We have boys class. We're probably going to be splitting that into two different age groups here in the very near future because of growth in that area. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. Wednesday nights, we start serving food at 6. Class starts at 6:30 and it ends at 7:45. We have such a wonderful church. When I first came to the church, I could say I didn't know anybody at the church. The district sent me to pastor the church, didn't know anybody. And I was up there. There were 6 people in the church the first week. Then there were 5 the next week, 4 the next week. We were one of the fastest shrinking churches in the country, but I would be up, I would preach and, I would say, amen. And by the time I could get to the back door to greet people, they were gone. Now I want you to know, we have people at Merritt Assembly of God. They love each other. They love to fellowship. And so even though our service may get over at some point, you know, at a certain time, a lot of times people are hanging out just fellowshipping with one another. Wednesday nights, the kids are hanging out playing basketball, and they can hang out there for an hour or so. And so if you would like some friends that are not just on a social network site, but you can actually see face-to-face and have communication with, heartfelt communication, I invite you to come and be a part of Merritt Assembly of God. I want to take you back to Isaiah chapter 4 today. Isaiah chapter 4, and in verse number 1, it says, "And in that day 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and a shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering, and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for a shelter from storm and rain." So, on yesterday's broadcast, we had talked about in that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and that we need to make sure that Jesus is on display in all of his glory in our lives. But it doesn't stop there. It continues in that verse, and it says, "And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing." Whenever Jesus is on the throne, when he is enthroned in his beauty and in his glory, when he has dominion and people are submitted to his lordship and to his will, they will experience the fruitfulness of God. You see, a lot of times we look at the story of the servants and we see, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will make you faithful over much. But if you look at those parables that Jesus taught, you will see that the faithfulness resulted in fruitfulness. Now, just external fruitfulness is not indicative of faithfulness, but faithfulness will always indicate fruitfulness. Wherever you find a faithful man, wherever you find a faithful woman, you are going to find good fruit, good spiritual fruit. Not maybe as the world has defined, but you will find fruit as God has described it. And so you should see increase. You should see health. You should see vitality. You should see, like it describes in Galatians chapter 5, you wherever you find faithfulness and the Lord Jesus Christ enthroned in his people's lives, you will find love. If you do not find love, now I'm not talking about the ooey-gooey feeling type of stuff where people are always doing exactly what you want. I'm talking about the unconditional love of God, where God is functioning in the best interest of his people. The Bible also says that he disciplines those he loves. Now, if you were to ask the person being disciplined whether that was something they really enjoyed, you would find that it is not generally an enjoyable process. But it is a manifestation of the love. So you would find the fruit of the Spirit, you would find joy. So when people come to our church where God is lifted up, they should come in and find love. You see, at Merit Assembly of God, I mean, I've got some favorite testimonies that have come in over through the years. I had a man that called me up one day, and he was calling me from a payphone in Walmart's parking lot. He was having a really bad day. He lived in a travel trailer and had a spot. He was living there and had a real bad problem in his life. As he was walking that day, he tripped over the phone book. He picked up the phone book. He threw it across the travel trailer. When it fell open to the church pages and to the Assemblies of God page. And when he looked down, he said, the only number that I saw was the phone number for Merit Assembly of God. This was back before Google search engines were all the rage and all of that. So he said, when I looked down, it was immediately burned into my mind. I had to, he said, so I slammed the phone book down. I put it put it away, and I drove down the road. And all of the time that I'm driving there, God was dealing with him about calling Merit Assembly of God. And so when he got to Walmart, they still had payphones there. He went over to the payphone and dialed the phone number from memory, a church he had never been to, never heard of. He called that day. I had a conversation with him. He came, we talked, he gave his heart to the Lord. I talked to him a few years ago. He'd moved out of the area, and he was still serving the Lord. He made peace with a lot of issues in his life, and God radically transformed his personality. So whenever you come to church, you may not find everybody that looks just like you. We relish our differences at Merit Assembly of God. So we've got people from all over the country. We've got people from all different sorts of backgrounds. We have people from Thailand. We have people from the Bahamas. We've had people from the Philippines before, Madagascar. We've had people from all over the world. And you know what? We love that, because the Bible says that around the throne room of heaven, there are going to be people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And so when people come to church, we want that to be a representation of what it looks like around the throne, not what it looks like at the boys club down the street. We want it to resemble the redemptive capability. And so for our missions program, it reaches literally around the globe. I would dare say that what was once said about the British Empire was that the sun never set on the British Empire. I would say that the sun never has the opportunity to set without a representation of Merit Assembly of God, a missionary that we support being in daylight there. So I'm very thankful for that. So when people come to church, they should find unconditional love. They should find joy. They should find peace. They should find patience. Okay? It is very important. Through the years, I've had a couple of conversations. A man came to me one time and he said, I'm having problems with this person. They're a believer and their lifestyle is not exemplifying that. How do I deal with that? And I asked the person, I said, and to be honest with you, they said this: God, I will call him because you want me to call him and ask him this question, but there's not anything that he could really say to me that I haven't already considered. So that was his expectations of that phone call were very low. And I just simply asked him this question: how long have they been a believer? How long have they been a believer? Because there are different expectations of people as to how long they've been. Now, if they say I've been a Christian all my life and they're trapped in sin, you have to deal with that issue different than the person who just got saved a week ago and, you know, God is still working on the issues of their life. God did not condemn us before we were saved. Thank God for his patience and his long suffering, waiting for us to say yes to his grace. And on the same hand, we need to exemplify and extend to them the fruit of long suffering so that the Holy Spirit can have his perfect work in their life. So wherever you are going to find Jesus glorified, you are going to find kindness. And you are going to find goodness, and you are going to find faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I don't see anywhere in there where if Jesus is going to be glorified, that you're going to find uncontrollable fits of rage. And so it is up to us to say, God, let the fruit of the earth be excellent and appealing. God, when you are on the throne, let there be a demonstration of just this incredible, beautiful fruit that you want to bring about in our life. When Joseph was in Egypt, he had a son. After he was elevated to prime minister, Pharaoh gave him a wife, and they had a son, and that firstborn son's name was Manasseh. Manasseh means God has made me to forget. And then he had a second son, and that boy's name was Ephraim. And Ephraim means double fruit, double fruit. I believe that when we are living in obedience to God, that he is going to cause our harvest of spiritual fruit to exponentially increase. So does that mean that the people that we're going to encounter that are Christians, that we're going to see them absolutely perfect? Probably not. Probably not. But we should see them, and others should see us as people who are in the refining process, constantly being molded and shaped and refined and cleansed to be a vessel of honor for the Lord Jesus Christ. So on this day, let's set out to make Jesus as appealing as possible. Let's let the fruit of our lips reflect a heart that has been cleansed from sin. Let's let our mind think of the things that Jesus wants us to think about that are listed in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Let's allow God to be enthroned in our finances, and people will see a completely different lifestyle. Does it mean that they're going to see a Cadillac drive in your driveway? Well, I don't know about that. I don't know that I'll be honest with you. I don't think I've ever driven down the road and I saw a Cadillac and said, well, that person must be really blessed to the Lord. But what I have seen is people poor and rich who have lived with a different lifestyle than the gimme, 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 gimme mindset that the world has. And they have said, God, I want to be sowing. I want to be partnering with you. I want to be a faithful steward of your finances. And so for my wife, we are not all that tied up in the possessions game, because someone's always going to have a nicer car. Someone's always going to have a nicer house and wear nicer clothes and stuff like that. So for us, that's not what it is. If you come over to our house, you would find out that it is a house that is lived in. It is not a museum. We actually live there. It is a very busy place. Most of the time, if we are not ministering at church, there is some sort of preparation for ministry that is going on in our house. That doesn't mean that we don't have downtime, but I can't tell you the number of nights that we've been sitting there in the living room, and while I'm relaxing, my wife and daughter, they're over there and they're preparing for their next act of ministry. They're as I am broadcasting right now, there are things in my house that are there that there's not time to work on them at the church. And so there's work that takes on it at the house. By the way, let me just say this. If you think that your pastor only works one day a week, that Sunday morning is it, you need to have your eyes opened. I think you should probably call your pastor and say, hey, pastor, can I ride shotgun with you for a week? And what I want you to do is I want you to show up with your running shoes on, because you're probably going to find that there's a whole lot of meetings that take place that you didn't know anything at all about. There's a whole lot of visits that take place that you didn't know anything about. There's a whole lot of phone calls that didn't, and there's all sorts of activity. It is not a stationary job. It is an active job. It is the pastor loves. So I want to encourage you today, no matter where you are in the county, why don't you just take just a moment and pray a prayer for your pastor, that God would use him to make the fruit of the kingdom excellent and appealing. Why don't we just take just a moment? You see, I have pastors in my life. I've got a presbyter, I've got a superintendent, and I've got the pastor that I grew up under. And so let's just take a moment and pray for those people if we can. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus for those men that you have blessed me with in my life, God, the pastors who watch over my soul, those pastors who equip me with wisdom, who are there to help me with counsel. And Lord, most of all, they have been there to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would bless them, that you would bless them with health in their body, that you would bless them with your presence, that you would bless them with vision, God, and insight into what your will is and what you would have them to do. God, bless them with faithful men and women around them, God, to help in the fulfilling the vision that you have given to them. God, I pray that you would bless them doubly. I pray that you would bless them in their finances, that you would bless them at home, bless their families, God, that those families would represent, Lord, men and women who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God, I pray that every person in those families would know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Bless the churches that they lead. Bless them with souls. God, I pray that every church and every Bible preaching church here in Brevard County would see increase, oh God, because the men and women of those congregations have gone out into the highways and the byways, and they have made the presence of the Lord glorious. They have made the fruit of a redeemed life appealing and excellent to those who they minister to. God, grow your kingdom here in this county in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In verse number 3, it says, "And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, every one who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem." So God, Isaiah says here, there's coming a day when everybody who is living in this city is going to be holy. Now that is something to believe God for. I believe that it could happen. I told you several months ago about a missionary that I read about that had gone to an island in the South Pacific, and they had a sign there that said, "When he came, there were no Christians." And 24 years later, after he died, there were no heathen. And it's like, wow, what a glorious testimony. I couldn't tell you his name, but I can tell you the name of his Savior. I can tell you that God used him mightily, that through his ministry, people saw the beauty and the glory of the Lord and the fruit of a Jesus-filled life. We all have heard about David Livingston and his ministry to the continent of Africa. And one of the things I love about that is when he died, there was this tug of war over where he was going to be buried. The people in Africa wanted him to be buried there, and the people of England wanted him to be buried there. And due to some legal proceedings, the people of England won, and so they were sending someone to pick up the body of David Livingston. But before he got there, the people of Africa actually carved out his heart out of his body, and they left a note that said, his body may belong in England, but his heart belongs to Africa. You see, those people knew that he loved them and that he cared for them. And I'm telling you that God can do, if God could do it in Jerusalem, a place that was so often relapsing into idolatry and forsaking their covenant with God and just going around the cycle of being blessed and then falling away and then falling into captivity and then repenting and repeating the cycle all over again. If God said, "I'm going to bring about a day where every person dwelling in the city is called holy," he can do it here in Brevard County as well. I want to refresh your faith this morning, if I can, and let you know that we need to pray for God to pour out a spirit of holiness in this community. You see, I believe, I'm thankful that God gives us the joy of the Lord, but I am also fully aware that God's primary objective is to create in us a spirit of holiness, that we would be holy even as he is holy. How does he bring that about? How he doesn't bring that spirit of holiness about by redefining what the filth actually is. He doesn't put a different label on it. He calls it for what it is. And in verse number 4, it says, "When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst." In the Amplified, it describes moral filth. When I read it, I actually have a more of a country understanding of what that would look like. People who are just filled with filth. Stuff that you would not want to be around, much less touch, even less that you would want to have on your skin. And that's where we are when it comes to sin right now. Everybody apart from Christ is walking around filled with this filth that is on full display for all the world to see. And the way to deal with that is not to redefine it. It's not to try and make people feel better about that. Instead, it is to let them know that there is a solution that can cleanse them of that filth, and it is the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, it says, when the Lord has washed away, it's got to be done away with. It has got there. I want that off of me as soon as possible. I don't know about you. I've had some jobs that when I got done with that job, it's like, okay, get me to the shower immediately. I want this stuff off of my skin. That's how bad it is. And he says that the way that is done away with, the way that it is purged, is by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. In Isaiah chapter 6, you are going to find that when Isaiah says, my lips are unclean, that the angel goes and takes a tong and he puts a burning coal on his lips and he says, this coal has cleansed your lips. You see, God's judgment is the standard. It's not whether or not I could give you my two thumbs up. I could say, hey, you're good. But if God says different, he's right, I'm wrong. If a judge says, hey, this is okay, but God says it's not okay, guess what? God's right and the judge is wrong. So I want to encourage you to come and allow God to judge you by his word. And if he says it's perverse, get rid of it. If he says it's filth, get rid of it. If he says it brings about death, allow him to purge it from your life, to remove it so that you can live the life that he wants. I was having a conversation with my wife the other day. It was not about us. It was about a different circumstance and situation. And I said, didn't something like this happen at another time in this particular circumstance? And her response, I won't forget it. It took me back. And she said, honey, that's what the devil does. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. People who were reaching out and striving to grow, and the enemy is not going to let that go unchallenged. He comes and he tries to steal and kill and destroy. Today, I want you to know that Jesus has come to forgive and empower and make you more than an overcomer. Do not accept what Jesus is able to cleanse. Instead, allow him to say, Don't redefine it. Don't just accept it. Say, God, I want this removed from my life, and only you can do that. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. God can take it away. God can take it away. No matter what you're battling with today, God can set you free from it. Allow him to purge it from your life. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.